You're on.
All right.
Like you say, if we have to, we just...
We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors to order for Tuesday, December 13th, 2022 at 8:45 on the clock. We have the privilege to begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left, attendance by observation. Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, Slavely, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve the minutes of the meeting held November 30th, 2022. Approve all claims through December 13th, 2022 in the amount of $761,001.29. Accept claim number 22120250 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. In the amount of $137.30 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of November 2022. Approve receiving sheriff's statement on the collection of distress warrants for November 2022. Ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless anyone would like to pull an item off.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 22120250 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $137.30. This brings the total of claims amount. This brings the total amount of claims paid through December 13th, 2022 to $761,138.69.
Move to approve 59 cents.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely to approve the amount as written. Any discussion? I might have read it wrong. Did I say 69?
All right, I was going to say.
Thank you. Please vote. 6 in favor with Jurgens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public or requests for future agenda items not on the agenda for equalization or for Board of Supervisors.
I noticed that my grants were not on the...
Christine, would you come to the microphone, please, just for the record?
I noticed that the grants were not on the agenda, and I was in on Friday and asked they put on the agenda.
I'm going to have to talk to you and Roger after the meeting or later today about those. We'll do some talking.
Okay.
About those, just I suppose afterwards, and see if we can work through some stuff.
They are due next. They have to be approved, and they're due December 21st.
That might be a problem. Let me talk to Roger after the meeting quickly and see if there's any... Well, I'll just need to talk to Roger.
21st.
We have a meeting on the 21st?
That's our special meeting.
Okay, we do have a meeting the 21st because of opening some bids, and we're going to have committee meetings afterwards, but we do have an actual meeting on the 21st as well.
Okay.
Thanks, Christine. Anything else for comments from the public or requests for future agenda items? If not, building and grounds, winter lights, Mr. Swavely.
All right. They're putting new lights over to sheriff's office. I think they're going to be a total of 13. They're outside lights, okay, to light up the area more. And they've got 4 or 5 of them up, and there's a big difference. They were on yesterday morning, but they're not on this morning, okay? Lamo Plumbing is on schedule for sometime between January and February to fix or to do the extension office remodel of the bathrooms, okay? We got bids for the veterans office. One of them included the gutters, and so David went over and looked at them and said, yes, they were, so he's going to request that the other two bidders put a bid in for that, so it's all apples to apples, okay? So other than that, I think Diode's going to, we're requesting a bid for cameras down at the roads department, okay? And we're working on that to come up with a finalize it, okay? So David will be talking with Mark to make sure that we cover all aspects of it, okay? So other than that, bye. We should be good.
Thank you, sir. Equalization, we just went over. There wasn't a lot going on right now. Letters, evaluation letters did go out, I believe. So you will be receiving those. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items, City Beatrice, quarterly EMS, probation office lease, $63,348.96. Davenport Group Incorporated, sheriff, vehicle, computer equipment, $24,363. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $34,582.81. Anelli Wagner Associates Engineering Consulting, $63,043.75. Metal Culverts Incorporated Culverts, $28,096.52. Rock On Incorporated Hauling Township Material, $19,178.02.
We will also be opening bids for, I guess I'll be in Road and Bridge, never mind. Thank you, Mr. Juergens. Human Resources, Employee Relations, haven't really had anything. Law Enforcement, Emergency Management. Ms. Wiegand's out today, so we'll move past that, and the Sheriff doesn't have anything. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens again.
I'm passing that one. Go ahead, Ann.
Because it's short. The state line hydrology study for the state line bridge is in progress. We went over some traffic counters on the Linden Road and Plum. In Sherman Township, we're looking at exchanging 3 miles of work for 3 miles of gravel. Like, if we take their 3 miles, they're going to give up the 3 miles of gravel. That's it.
Yesterday, we had our committee meetings. This next item is discuss and approve or disapprove adding phone numbers and or email addresses to the website for planning and zoning members. Yesterday, I talked to four of the members. They would rather not have their phone numbers on there listed for the reason that it's their personal cell numbers, and they don't want texts and calls all the time, which I think is understandable. None of them had any issue with email, which may be good for record keeping if we had a county email or freedom of information requests or anything. That was the message I got from the four. If we really push it, a couple of them would use their phone numbers if we paid them a stipend for using their phone for county business. That was kind of the opinion I got. Ms. Haxby talked to the other half of the membership. What message did you get from them?
To the two that I was able to talk to didn't care at all. They thought that since they ran an office that was public, that they should be able to be accessed by the public.
I talked to Ms. Wiegand this morning also, and she said she usually doesn't get phone number requests from people because most folks had their numbers already. As I talked to her, she thought the email was probably a good idea too. If they wanted to not go through her, they could go directly to the membership then. And I said, in talking with her this morning, I said, well, maybe we set up a county email for each of them and then make putting their phone numbers optional for more direct contact? Because I think I can think of a couple members that would rather talk than email, at least a couple members. I guess I'll throw that out to discussion then for the board, what your thoughts are, Mr. Swavely.
The people that you talk to, that they don't have a landline, all they have is cell numbers, I mean cell phones for, I mean, I know a lot of people are going to that, but I mean.
One of them for sure, that was what he said, even for his work, he doesn't give people where he works his cell number, he just keeps it as his number, which I can understand that. Another member said, you know, that's his number. He'd rather not use it for a work purpose in any way. And I'm trying to remember.
Are most of those in the phone book anyway? Public record anyway?
The home numbers?
If they have a landline. A lot of people are dropping where they just have a cell phone now, okay? But those people have a landline, they could look it up on, you know, look it up and call them on their landline, but if they're listed in the book, so.
I take that back. I talked to three of the members. One of them I did not get a hold of. And some numbers are listed.
Even cell numbers. Some numbers, people, you know, their cell numbers are their number in the phone book. They're the ones that have gone to nothing except carrying a cell phone. They don't have a landline in the house. Okay, so
I have been asked for numbers of PNZ members by people. Dawn, do you get calls for?
I have had requests.
Phone numbers or emails or some way to contact them.
Not emails, it's phone numbers. So that's what I get.
Don't you think if it's that important, they could talk to them in person?
You have to be able to get a hold of them to talk to them.
Make arrangements
to
talk to them in person.
The other person said either way, didn't care. So two that I talked to would like email in lieu of phone. One said if we paid for the phone. One didn't care either way, and the fourth one I didn't get a hold of, just so that I don't say I did talk to all of them. Mr. Juergens, thoughts?
Don't care. Be honest with you.
Just thought if we have some consensus that we can vote on and just tell them this is what we're going to be doing. Least intrusive is email.
I think that obviously some people don't use email. Some people don't open a computer. So I think we can do both, because sometimes people want to just email some information or a letter. Mailing addresses are kind of, a bit archaic, but not too many people use the mail. They'd rather email.
How about Dawn has all their phone numbers, or Lisa, probably Lisa, or both, and if somebody wants to speak to them, the commissioner calls them.
That calls the...
the person that wants contacted.
That's what it is right now.
But...
that's what Lisa does. I don't...
You don't have the number, but Lisa does.
Yeah.
So they do have a method to talk to them or to contact them, to meet in person or meet or talk, give them a call. Perhaps they'd have to block their number so it doesn't show up. But if they call here, talk to Lisa, will she contact then the commissioner to, and then is the commissioner willing to return the call? I mean, that's the only way I can think that we can keep from publishing their numbers and still have them available.
One thing I did talk to a couple of them about was if they had an email, they said they could individually give their phone number out. The discussion we've had, of course, is they should be available to people to go over things, especially like now we've postponed this to the next meeting so that they can review public opinion, documents given to them. I had a lady that wanted to send some information but didn't want to mail it all, thought it would be more efficient just to scan it and email it to everyone. In lieu of printing it all and mailing a packet to everyone. that's at your own risk as well. You can get overwhelmed with information. But that's, you know, that's some of the requests we hear. We don't really get the input from people here wanting to give us information, and I think most everyone just calls us if they need something, but we all get emails as well.
We have our phone numbers listed, and I would say that I don't get an extravagant amount of phone calls. I mean, we have the occasional one, and then there's a hot topic, and they want to let us know what's going on.
To you.
I mean, it's everybody says that you got to have a recorder. Well, that's bull hockey, okay? That just, you know, they don't get calls. You get an occasional one, but it's not a not an everyday thing, okay? So.
Most of the calls we get here, I think, are angry people in the southern part of the county.
No, I'm kidding. Well, there's a good reason for that, Eric.
We don't have to decide anything, but since this has been brought up for discussion, we put it on the agenda so we can vote on something or we can let it go.
I think we've already wasted more time on this than we should have.
Mr. Thiemann?
Yes, sir.
As far as you see contacts for the supervisors, most of those are home phones, aren't they? And somebody that doesn't personally know me, you know, I'll get phone calls in the evening, most time roads, issues, stuff like that, or stop in. So our cell phones aren't on the official tally either,
mine is,
are they?
Mine is.
That's all they have.
I've got my home
yeah.
phone.
Yeah, I do not publish cell phones, do not give out cell phone numbers unless you have directed me to do so. However, if that's the only phone you have, then I've had permission to post that because that's your home number, that's your work number, whatever.
So I didn't realize we were that split, but we're basically split then. Pretty much half and half, half phone, half home, half cell.
Is your cell on?
My home phone is listed, but I give people my cell phone number.
My cell.
So there's four and three. I would not have guessed that. I thought it was primarily home.
It's your home number is what we list, but if that is your home number, if that is your only number, then that is the one that's listed. Or if you have a separate phone that you want to use for business, we publish that, you know, and that's your work number.
Ms. Saxby.
I would move to add phone numbers and email addresses.
For the commissioners?
For the website for planning and zoning members. And they can choose whatever phone number they want to add.
Phone number and emails.
Yep.
For the PNZ members to the website. Quick question on that. Can they choose the phone number?
Yeah.
Would it be appropriate then if they do not want to put a cell number or a home number that they put the PNZ office phone number? Just because there may be people that are adamant. I see Roger looking, and I'm not trying to skirt this. I'm just trying to be very specific. If they want to use the PNZ office phone number for their contact point.
I think that kind of negates the way of, you know, of contacting them.
Or just trying to think how not to force.
Listening, has this been a problem?
There's been a lot of comment on it in the last. It really came up with the wind, I think, and then it's died down. I'm guessing it's more solar now.
They were sending reams of stuff to the commissioners.
Literal
reams. I mean, I got some of that stuff, and you know, so I understand. There's always going to be some people that. But think about the other thing: is once you got your email or your cell phone on a list, guess what you get. You get all kinds of stuff that you haven't asked for because it gets sold. And, of course, they never sell it. You know, when you go to a NACO meeting or a NERMA meeting or whatever, I go to a county attorney's meeting, all of a sudden I'm getting badges and guns. So I'm just throwing that out as the other side of the deal. And if there's people that can't get a hold of somebody, Lisa is always available. At least I've never had a problem talking with the police or giving her a call, even a message. She gets right back to you. I just throw that out.
We may run into issues with that. We should probably check a little bit.
Check with who?
Is your motion either or both of them?
Both. It would be a county-provided email, not personal email.
Okay.
But we didn't prior.
No, I know, but that was the risk there.
And those would be county emails.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Hill brought up a good point. We may need to check to see if there's any security issues with a county email on a personal computer. Would you want to add that stipulation if there's no concern with security to personal computers?
Sure.
That would be something we'd have to look into that none of us know the answer to. With safety or security stipulation. We have a motion. I guess I would ask you to keep in mind, too, it's a volunteer board. I think it's very important that we be able to get a hold of them. The public needs to be able to get a hold of them. The emails are easy to use for documentation. It still can reach people. I like the idea of phone numbers on there. I mean, personally, I really like it.
I think it should be one or the other. I don't think it should be both. When she wants it, both the email and the phone number. And I think if we're going to force this on them, okay, because the volunteer board, I think it has to be up to them whether they want their phone number or whether they'll accept an email.
Or do we make a phone number optional? I'm not trying to water this down. I just because I like the idea of the phone numbers on there myself. If it's optional, they can put their phone number, Mr. Lytle.
Well, understand that I'm for full disclosure, and I'm one of them that has my cell phone up there for my number. I have no problem with that, me personally. But on this issue, I mean, how long have I been on this board? Over 10 years, and this is the first time I've ever heard of any issue getting a hold of a P&Z member. I don't understand why we're spending this energy and time on this issue. They can get a hold, just like Roger said, they can get a hold of Lisa, and Lisa can get them in touch with whoever. I have never had or heard any complaints about getting a hold of P&Z members. They've been readily available. I don't understand
what the big issue is, quite frankly.
Personally, I've never had a problem getting a hold of them, but I also call them directly. So, I mean, we have to... So I'm playing both sides of the fence here, just trying to get you guys to think about everything. We don't have any issue ever because we have their phone numbers. The public doesn't have the same access to everyone that we do.
Eric, I don't have everybody's numbers that's on P&Z. If I wanted them, I could get them from Lisa just like anybody else.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I just assumed we all had their numbers.
I don't know.
My first thought is, because I like transparency, that as a planning and zoning commissioner, the numbers should be available. But then was on the fence. I gave it more thought. They're appointed. They're not paid. It's volunteer. And they can call Lisa. I'm sure that, you know, most of them would share their phone number or call back a person. I mean, it's just common courtesy. Let Lisa monitor that, and if the commissioner doesn't want their phone number shared, they just need to tell Lisa. Otherwise, perhaps just say, well, which ones are you, can I share, and which ones not? How do you want to go about it? I don't leave it up to each commissioner and Lisa.
That I think that is her current process.
And I would agree, it'd be frustrating if I was interested in talking to one particular commissioner and was not able to because I couldn't get a phone number or other than just driving up to their house and knocking on the door. But I really doubt that that's, I wonder how big an issue that is.
I'm sure it happens, but I'm sure not often. I have heard that that does happen, that people drive out and talk. And
I'd be more concerned about putting my address on than my phone number.
I would also. But addresses are, I mean, information is
that can be
accessible
found.
Anymore.
You got your phone number, you can get your address. So.
Our motion is to add phone numbers and county emails with a, you know, assuming that it's not a safety concern for the email. And we don't have a second. Is there a second for that? I guess I'll go this way first. Is there a second for the motion? Last and final. We'll call that motion dead then. Is there a different motion on this item? Or is this item dead today?
County email. I'd like to move to put a county email on if safety concerns allow with the option of a phone number.
We have a motion by Haxby to add a county email, assuming safety is all right, and an optional phone number to that listing for the P&Z members. Do we have a second? You guys are rough this morning. Sorry. Do we have a second? County email provided by the county, assuming
right.
Safety concerns.
I second so we can get this thing over with. Vote on it.
You think I'm dragging my feet on here, Terry? Motion by Haxby, second by Juergens to add a county email to the P&Z folks' listings with an optional phone number of their choice. Is that correct, Ms. Haxby? Any discussion on this? Seeing none, please vote. We have a 2-5 vote with Tiemann and Haxby voting in favor and the remaining voting nay. Motion fails.
I would just like to say I understand that they're a volunteer board and it's much appreciated, but a volunteer board also holds public hearings in which the public has to be able to access them and have a public opinion. I don't have any problem if somebody asks me, I'm going to text them their numbers because they need to be able to get a hold of them and talk to them because they're part of the decision that comes up here.
I have, does anyone else have anything for the regular meeting? If we do a closed session, Roger, how do we, if I have something for closed session, do I have to have a motion to amend the agenda?
You have to have a reason why it's not on the agenda.
Okay, I won't do that on this, but does anyone else have anything else for the regular agenda? I do have something I want to bring up. Our own Ms. Haxby was elected out of the entire state. There was a class of 10. To the Farm Bureau leadership class that begins this spring?
January.
So I want to give her congratulations. That's a great representation of our county.
Way to go.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
So that's a big plus. And then just for our information, do you want to run down what you're doing and today at the hearing?
So, yeah, there's a hearing today up in Lincoln. It's on the broadband bridge program that they've done, kind of how they've done and how there should be changes made. And so I was going to go up and testify today just as myself on how they just options on how to make that program better, get it to support more public-private partnerships so that there's accountability. So there's accountability in the decision-making and then moving forward through the grant process so that all these providers can be held accountable by local entities, and then local entities also have a better understanding of where broadband is needed in their
bridge, yeah.
in their county or
right.
jurisdiction. So,
does the board have? We haven't. Ms. Haxby's planning to go up there and represent herself in this because she was instrumental in getting the broadband. Contract that we have currently, which appears to be a very good contract, and explaining how this could work differently. I assume Oliver's probably going to present also from SEND.
He will be there. He can't present because he's with the AmeriCorps.
Oh, that's right. Do we need board approval to let her represent the board, or can we just say she represents the board if there's consensus council, I guess? We don't have anything that, I mean, is she representing the board when she goes up and talks?
Not unless the board specifically authorizes that.
That would have to be an agenda item then, or we can, by consensus, give that consent, or?
Yeah. Love how you wing these things. I mean, do you understand how important this is? And I certainly have nothing but trust with Emily and her ability to represent this county in these type of discussions, because that's basically what it is, a public hearing for input.
Yes, input on how they had the process. And
so as far as her being able to get up there and say, hey, this is what Gates County did. She's just doing the historical thing, giving facts that may not have gotten up to Lincoln, which we all know that happens. And the process that this board has gone through, I don't have a problem with that, but when you get into like policy statements and stuff like that, then you got to be really, again, whether it's any one of you or even myself, you got to know what the authority is granted by this board specifically.
We'll leave that up. That was something I just asked when Ms. Haxby was talking to me this morning, and but we'll leave it the way it is so you can go over what we've done, what could be done. It's more or less trying to tell the committee what could be done or what can be done and what has been done in Gage. But that's nice. We have a place at the legislature again giving testimony, trying to go over things and hopefully making this better. There's potential for the better part of $100 million additional funding on one program that Emily's working on. With SEND and others, but there are additional funding sources like this where trying to get more money in for rural areas is really a good thing.
Well, and basically telling what we did, because it can be a template for other, other counties or other entities, so for that public-private partnership, but if we can get local entities involved, then we wouldn't have the cherry picking going on with applications. So we can really truly get to the unserved areas, not just the underserved areas, and stay away from hitting the more like right now they're picking rural areas that are more populated, and that doesn't really help when you're trying to subsidize getting this fiber out into rural areas. So if we can, advocate for those public-private partnerships, because, we all know where fiber is needed. We're going to try to go to the hard-to-get areas first, the less populated areas, and then grow around it.
Thank you very much. Good luck. Changed my mind. We are going to go into a brief closed session for Section 84-140 of the Nebraska Revised Statutes for potential contract discussion. I would ask for a motion to go into that closed session at 9:20 for timeliness.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Schuler, second by Swavely. Please vote. 7 in favor. We are in closed session. Ask for a motion to go back into session. Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn at 9:54. Please vote. 7 in favor. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, we'll look at that meeting on next week sometime, trying to talk. And the 21st at 8:30, we will have a meeting to approve bridge bids for Bus River Bridge that Emily wanted to wait another week on. And then we will have our committee meetings following that so that we don't have another special meeting afterwards.
Still after Christmas. Good.
Anything else? Nope. If not, thank you very much. And we will adjourn at 9:55.